All righty, let me go ahead and jump right into the message here. There's a real neat passage, and I'm going to talk about this in the middle of the message, but it really it speaks about being Bereans, and we'll look at that passage. It's in Acts. You can be turning over there. But in Acts, it talks about the Berean church and how they really studied God's Word, which was, at that point, it was the Old Testament. And they would look at the Old Testament because Paul and the apostles would be preaching the gospel out of the Old Testament. And we do that a lot. And so the New Testament is the reflection of what God had promised in the Old Testament, and it's interpreted through Jesus Christ. And so the Bereans were noble-minded in that they really searched the Scriptures themselves. And so that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, is a couple of things. One, there are some main points from last week I'm going to do a quick recap of. The three for today are these. One is be a Berean, know the Word of God, the Bible. And then number two, learn wisdom and humility. And then number three, understand essential and non-essential doctrines. Not that there are doctrines in the Bible that are not essential for us, but we're talking about doctrines that don't relate specifically to salvation through faith and grace in Jesus Christ. Okay, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. Just a quick recap of last week. We kind of did a review of God's sovereignty and man's responsibility, some of the ditches that we can get into on that side, and we looked at a picture of that. And so I don't want to go into that. It's a lot. I really encourage you to take a look at that from last week. But here's a couple of the key aspects of that. One is that God is sovereign over all. Psalm 103, verse 19, the Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His sovereignty rules over all. This is one of my favorite passages. We didn't cover this one last week, out of Isaiah 46, verse 8. Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. That's God saying, recall this to mind, you sinners. You know, He says that sometimes. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country, I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it. He's saying if he wants to get something done in the earth, and he's going to need to discipline Israel because they have been falling into idolatry, he sovereignly leads another country to come and punish them, but then he'll punish that country for doing it. How does that happen? It's because God is God. And we're responsible for our sin, and yet he's able even to use that for good. The ultimate example of that is the cross. Now, I spent literally hours thinking about all those nuances as it relates to the cross. And it is just astounding, the sovereignty of God. And then we talked about the comfort that that brings us. It's a little bit like, okay, wow, I don't know that I'm comfortable with that. God's like that in control. He's that powerful? Yeah, he speaks, universes happen. That's our God. And what we looked at was these verses in Romans 8:28, taking comfort in his sovereign power. Remember this verse, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. How can you know that things work together for good? All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. How do you know that you can trust in that? Well, one, you have the scriptural testimony of how God does that. And so we see that God actually does do that, and so you can trust him. Why? Because he's sovereign. Because he's powerful. He's able to take Joseph, and at the end of his life, Joseph, now second in command of the world, is able to say, brothers, y'all wanted to kill me. You sold me into slavery. I've been in a prison for 10 years, but now I'm second in command of the world. And you know what? What you meant for evil, God meant for good. That is a level of sovereignty that we don't understand. And so we talked about how man's responsibility and God's sovereignty relate. And it was it's a deep subject. And so we took some time to look at that last week. I encourage you to go look at that, listen to that message from last week, because it sets some things that are helpful in wrestling with some of the things we're going to talk about today. So I encourage you to go listen to that. So out of God's grace to us in Christ, He helps us to be able to obey, to believe God and to obey Him. He wanted us to believe Him and obey Him from the beginning. We were unable to do that because of sin. God in His mercy through Christ, as when we have faith in Christ, we are born again into His family. And by that being born again, the Holy Spirit coming into us, He helps us to be able to relate to Him. So that's God's grace, His mighty power working in us. So all of that is working together to help us learn to relate to Him. And there's this mystery in terms of how does this work? And we looked at these passages of Scripture, and I don't know. I don't know how God does that. I know that today I could take this paper, and I could say, I'm going to drop this paper. And I could drop it. See, I just did that. Now, did God make me do that? I don't think so. I think I did it. Did God know I was going to do it? Well, sure He did. Did it have a purpose? I have no idea. But the reality is you could lose yourself in wandering through those mysteries. The main thing that we need to take away from that is God is good, and take the comfort in His sovereign care for us. And we need to receive the grace of God in Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and the saints around us to do what God's called us to do. Does that make sense? So how do we those are mysteries that we will never be able to fully understand. And so we kind of ended that with worshiping in these mysteries. And if you look in Romans, by the time Paul gets to Romans 11 and he's wrapping up Romans 11, this is how he's talking about all of these things. And it makes your head spin. And at the end of Romans 11, basically he just says, what do you do with that? He says, there's a word there. It's the word, oh. What we would say is, oh. But it's not Paul going, oh. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. No, he worships. It's, oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, how inscrutable His ways. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. All of these things that we wrestle with should lead us to worship. And they should lead us to deepening relationships in His family. So how do we do that? Well, we need to look at Acts 17, verse 10 and 11. Acts 17, verse 10 and 11. This is where we're going to start this morning. Again, I encourage you to go to listen to last week's message. You can find us on YouTube. We also are on Facebook, and you can see the last week's message for about a week on our website as well. Acts 17, 10. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. They examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Something that we need to really make sure we are doing is we are not just relying on a podcast or a video on YouTube, but that we're going to God's Word. You're not responsible for what's on YouTube. You're not responsible for what's on a podcast. You will be responsible for God what you did with this. And I understand that we have our phones. I use my phone a lot to be able to look up things, particularly verses. You can speak into Google and mention part of a verse, and typically, like on my phone, it pops up the verse immediately. And a lot of times, if I've memorized a verse, I forget the reference, and I can pull those things up. But we need to sit down, and I encourage you to get a Bible that you can read, doesn't have any notes in it. You just sit down, and you just read the Word of God, and you soak in it, and you do it every day of your life. And when I preach things on Sunday, you go to this. And I want to encourage you that this is a church that has a lot of Bereans in it. people that will go to the Word and come and talk to me about it, and we will wrestle through that stuff together. And that's what you are supposed to be doing. All right, will you receive that? Okay, that is the first part with this, and dealing with things where there's mystery involved, is that we need to be those people that are centered in the Word of God. We hear it, we read it, we study it, we memorize it, we meditate on it, and we obey it. All six of those things, okay? So be a Berean, be noble-minded, and don't confuse the Bible with YouTube. Right? All right? Say amen. Everybody say amen. All right. The sooner you get into this, the quicker we'll get out to go and eat fish, okay? All right, that's what I'm looking for. All right, so part of that is learning gospel boundaries surrounding difficult subjects. How do you do that? Well, all of this came out of me looking at James. You can blame James for the last few Sundays, because we're in James, and he's talking about faith and works and how they relate together. And I have good news for y'all. In the coming weeks, we are right on the cusp. In fact, today is a foray into chapter 3 of James. Praise God. That is exciting. And so just to give you a little, you know what a lanyap is? A lanyap. It's like an appetizer. It's a word for appetizer. Trust me, it's good. Okay, James 3, 13 through 18. Let's go to there, because the first point was to be a Berean. Now I want you to use wisdom and be wise and understanding when it comes to relationships in the body of Christ. Okay? Wise and understanding. Here is James talking about wisdom. He's just talked about, he's saying things like, you bless God and curse people out of the same mouth. Why? That does not make sense. Don't do that. And so he gets here to verse 13 and says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Let's pause there. When you have selfish ambition in your heart and jealousy, what comes out of your mouth typically is unspiritual, it's earthly, and it's demonic. Hello. We used to have a person in our church that he'd say that. It is demonic. He'd go, hello. And so I want to encourage you to really be thinking. That's why we have to go to the word, because the Bible calls sin what it is. That's demonic. When we're speaking evil of one another, there's a demonic influence there that we are submitting to. Verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Jealousy, selfish ambition, that is the opposite of humility and love for one another. So verse 17, this is the phrase that pays, so to speak. But the wisdom from above is first pure. Pure as it relates to the Word of God. Then peaceable. Wisdom from above, wisdom from God, is seeking to make peace and work through things in such a way that peace is the fruit of that relationship. Gentle. We're not forcing, we're not yelling, we're not boasting, we are gentle. It's strength under control, it's open to reason. Open to reason, another translation says reasonable. If you find yourself not being willing to reason or being unreasonable, then you're heading the other direction. God wants us to be open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called the sons and daughters of God. So I want to challenge you to be a Berean in the Scriptures, but to be wise and understanding in how you speak. That as we look at the Word of God, as we wrestle through difficult subjects, that we do so in such a way with wisdom and understanding. Okay, now this is the third point, is that we understand essential and non-essential doctrine. So turn to Romans 14. I'm not going to read this whole chapter. The whole chapter really focuses on this, and it is super, super helpful in terms of understanding how we relate to one another when we have differences of opinion in areas of Scripture. So I'm going to use two verses, but I really encourage you to go and just read through this chapter. Romans 14:1 says, "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions." So another translation of that word opinions is disputable matters, that there are disputable matters in the body of Christ, and we're going to look at a few of those. And we're not to quarrel over opinions, but we're to accept those who are weak in faith. Now, I want you to understand that you may think the other person is the one who's weak in faith, and they may think that you're the one who's weak in faith. But regardless, we're both responsible to not quarrel over opinions, okay? We are called to reason together. And then right down there at the end, well, I'll just read this. Let me see here. Well, let me just read this one verse here. If I can find it. I thought I had written it down in my notes. Well, one verse that's super important in this chapter. Verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men." Then verse 19, this is the verse. "So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding." So what are disputable matters? And so one of the phrases that we use, and so one of the handouts that you received this morning is our statement of faith. And then it's also, within that, and at the introduction to our statement of faith, and at the end, there's a statement about that relates to essential and non-essential doctrine. And let me explain what that is. So this is something that the church has been wrestling with, you know, for two millennia. But in particular, in 1500 to 1681, there was a German Lutheran theologian and educator. And listen to what he said. He said something along these lines, and it's been put into English. It was written, I think, originally in Latin. "In the essentials, we have unity. In the non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity." So let me explain what we're talking about there. The essentials that we talk about where we have unity are the doctrines that relate to salvation in Jesus Christ. Salvation by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, in the early church, in the first few centuries, they were doing this. In fact, the New Testament has several passages that would be considered creeds. Creeds or early songs that were used to celebrate the truth of the gospel. And so in the fourth century, around 325, they began to get some of these things in a little organized fashion. And so one of the creeds that came about around that time in the fourth century was the Apostles' Creed. So I'd like for us to read this together and read it out loud. So let's look at it up on the screen. And we're just going to say it slowly. And this is what the church did to document the essentials. Salvation by faith in Jesus Christ, doctrine about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are things that we must be in agreement on because they are the building blocks of the gospel. They are the summary of the full message of Scripture. And so back as early as the fourth century, they were nailing this stuff down, and this is the sort of stuff that statements of faith in churches are built upon. So let's say this together. "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So for 1700-ish years about, the Christian church has been affirming these things. And so from time to time we will recite this as a part of our worship because it is important for us to understand what those things are that the church has rallied around. These are the non-negotiables of the faith. If you tell me that Jesus was just a good man and he was not the Son of God, I'm gonna take you back to Scripture and I'm gonna say, no, right here, Jesus says, I am. He's and in fact they wanted to stone him because what? Because John said he was making himself out to be God. So no, Jesus Christ claims he was God. He was crucified, dead, and buried, and rose from the grave. He was seen by over 500 people at one time and multiple of the apostles, and he has risen from the dead, and our faith rests upon that fact. And they will say, well, maybe he was just a spirit. No, he was in bodily form. Why is that important? Because he became a human so he could rescue us from the fall of Adam. That he was a human being is supremely important for us because if we don't have a human being to stand in our place, we will die in our sins. And so we have a God who is a Savior who told us he was going to give us a Messiah, and that Messiah came and was born of the Virgin Mary, and he was crucified, he was dead, buried, raised, he sits now at the right hand of the Father, and he's going to judge the living and the dead. All of these things we say, and so if where there's a departure from that, we can't walk together. Jehovah's Witnesses believe different things. Mormons believe different things that are way outside these doctrines. And so, not to be pointing fingers, but the reality is that there is doctrine that does divide. And it is centered in these types of non-negotiable. These are the essentials of the faith. And so we look to those things. And so Rupertus Meldinius was saying, hey, look, in the essentials, we need to have unity. If you look at Scripture, this is absolutely clear. In the non-essential, there's liberty. Now, what are the non-essentials? They are things that don't relate to salvation in Christ. Now, they come out of salvation in Christ. They do relate to it in different ways, but you don't have to know these things. And you don't have to believe these things. You can have differing opinions and still be born again into the faith, right? Okay, so let's talk about a few of those things. One is spiritual gifts. When I gave my life to Christ, when I was born again into his family, this is back in 1985, I was taught, God loved this church. They did so many things right. They taught me the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I learned how to share that gospel. And I have, by God's grace, gotten to lead I don't know how many people to the Lord because this church was focused on relationships, focused on evangelism. They did so many things right, but they taught against the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it was one of those things where they definitely were Trinitarian, but they really believed that the spiritual gifts in the New Testament had died out with the first generation of the apostles. And so I didn't know any different, and I didn't really think anything about that. But I planted a church through that association of churches, and God led us, of all places, to a charismatic church. And I remember going and just thinking, I'm going to search the Scriptures on that. I knew God had called us there. But what I learned in this church was it was a robust theology of the importance of the Word of God, of good doctrine, centered in Christ, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so I studied and I learned those things. And I said, Lord, whatever you have to give me, I want. I would hear people speaking about speaking in tongues. I'd say, I'd love to speak in tongues, Lord. Now, that's not something that I do. I've tried. I don't do it anyway. But I know people that do, okay? But the reality is there's differences of opinion in this. And you do not have to speak in tongues to be a member of this church. But we also need to be able to say, if you speak in tongues, I bless you in that because it's in the Word of God. And you may have differences of opinion on that, but we're not going to say we're going to divide over that. Rather, we're going to challenge one another, and we are going to build each other up because I will, you know, I'll sit down and I'll tell you all the different ways I've just seen miraculous things in my life. And I routinely rely on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, is that exactly what 1 Corinthians 12 is talking about? I think so. I used to not think so. But the reality is we want a church where we say God can be God. And there is not a quit. Now, we do know this for sure. We do not want to quench the Holy Spirit. We do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And we can through disobedience. So how does that work itself out? In the non-essentials, we have liberty. And we want to use wisdom and understanding to challenge one another, to grow. If there had not been people in my life that said, David, there's these gifts of the Holy Spirit. Are you aware that you might be able to enjoy the power of God in a different way in your life? And I'm thankful that I've studied those things. I've asked God for that wisdom and grace, and I want it to be as supernatural as possible. But I wrestle with that. And this is a place where we want God to move however he wants to move. But we will not get into, and we'll challenge one another, but we learn how to wrestle with those things. But as a result, though, you do not have to believe in those gifts to be a member of this church. Or it's fine if you don't. It's fine if you do. We are going to, when we come to them in Scripture, we're going to talk about them. That's what we do. When we come to them in Scripture, because they're there, we talk about them. So that is one of those areas that really is a wrestling and an encouragement. And I think it's one of those areas that you're going to find people in here that would say that they routinely operate in those gifts. And some would say, I don't think that's what that is. And so what do we do with that? Do we fight? No. Right? What do? We build each other up in our most holy faith. We challenge one another. We invite each other to grow in that. And so, again, I encourage you to explore the spiritual gifts, but just know that there's liberty. There's liberty. And so we want to use wisdom, and we don't want to divide over those things. Eschatology is another thing. So I want to, this is what this would be. Okay, if you're not dispensational, pre-mill, you have to leave right now. And everybody go, most of us would go, what? You know? So I'm not saying that that's what I am. And you're like, well, what are you? Well, it doesn't matter. No, it really does. No, here's what I believe. Jesus is coming back. Yes. Now, we can all agree on that, right? He's going to judge the living and the dead, right? Now, whether there's a tribulation, whether we're in the tribulation, whether there's a literal millennium, or we're in a figurative millennium, we know that Christ is coming back. The dividing line is Christ is coming back. Okay? That's what we focus on. We want to be a ready church. We want to be a bride of Christ that is walking in the grace of God, getting our garments cleaned up to live righteous and holy lives in the power of the Holy Spirit and ministering in His power and fulfilling His great commission. Right? Yep. All right. That's where we go. We're excited about that. But if you think that if you have a difference of opinion on the millennium, it's interesting to me. I study lots of different books and lots of different perspectives, but you do not have to believe a certain way in this area to be a member of this church. Because as it relates to salvation, you do not have to know that or believe a certain way to be born again into the kingdom. Another area of that is the whole aspect of predestination and election. So this is something that's really important because these are doctrines that are held very, very deeply by the people that really study these things. And so the predestination and election are both words in the Scripture that are promises of the inheritance of what we have in Christ. There are differences of opinion on how people think we get those things. Okay, so there's and there's two primary trains of thought. You might have heard of Calvinism and Arminianism, and that can be a very heated and discussion. But let me tell you what we want to do, and that's kind of where in last week's message, talking about God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. If you will dive into God's sovereignty, you will be comforted and you will be blown away with the goodness and the power and the majesty and the holiness of God. And if you dive into man's responsibility and you go deep there and you look at our brokenness because of our sin and the fact that the grace of God comes and saves us and that those who believe in Jesus Christ are born again into his family and that those people are secure in their faith. And are we secure in our faith? Well, those are the things we wrestle about in those doctrines, and there's differences of opinion. And so I want to tell you that to believe in the spiritual gifts, that they are operative, that is what is called an orthodox viewpoint in Christianity. This is important for you to understand this. Orthodoxy means it is generally agreed on by Christ-centered, evangelical, believing churches. And there are churches that have differences of opinion on spiritual gifts. They have differences of opinion in eschatology. And there's differences of opinion on predestination and election. And they are considered orthodox. In other words, they are considered accepted as legitimate doctrines out of the Word of God. Now, if you're on one of those or other of those sides, you may feel like, I disagree with this. But that's where iron will sharpen iron, if we will listen to one another and grow with one another. And that's so important for us to be able to do it. And what we want to do in that process is stay out of the ditches. So what we looked at last week is, in terms of God's sovereignty and man's responsibility, if you get outside the gospel, if you get outside the center, the scripture in the area of man's responsibility, I would call that fatalism. It doesn't really matter what we do because we're saved, right? I'm born again. I'm not going to lose my salvation, so therefore, I can do whatever I want to do. Does that sound right? No. It doesn't matter. My decisions don't matter because God's sovereign. He's already predestined everything. Does that sound right? My decisions do matter. That's what the Bible tells us. So all of these things, there's ditches that we can fall into, and it's the same on the other side. We can fall into what I would call a man-centered gospel. What would that be that would be a true ditch? I would say, whereas fatalism on, when you look at God's sovereignty, on the other side, it would be a man-centered gospel would be legalism. In other words, you're basically falling back into a works mentality. You're falling back into a salvation that is mixed with, well, there's this grace of God, but if we don't do this, it's the faith and works controversy. And that if you preach a work salvation, you're in the ditch. Salvation is by faith, through faith, by grace, in Jesus Christ alone. So works come out of our relationship with Christ. But when you mix works up as part of the salvation aspect, well, then you're getting into the ditch. If you use God as a genie, you interrupt, it's like, okay, I'm going to read my Bible. Now, God, give me this. You're using him as a vending machine, God is not a vending machine. He will make you relate to him. And he will force you to come to terms with whether or not you actually believe in his son. And on top of that, he will separate for eternity those who do not believe in his son. And so these are big things, and we need to talk about these things. But in terms of how we relate to one another on essential and non-essential issues, when it comes to these types of issues, we want to be able to love one another. And that's the last thing. In all things, we show charity. We show love. 1 Corinthians 13, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. I was getting the fruit of the Spirit and the definition of love mixed up. Can you fault me? Blame me. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway. So one of the aspects of this that we, again, just to kind of summarize on this, the essentials, with disputable matters, we give grace and we welcome them, but we don't quarrel over opinions, but we do learn to discuss and grow with one another. And with the differences, with the essential things which come out of things like our statement of faith, the creed, the creeds that describe our faith, that ultimately are the centerpiece of the gospel, those are the things we must agree on. So I just want us, those are important things to be able to say as we look at walking forward as a church. And so I encourage you to be able to be a Berean, learn wisdom and humility, and understand essential and non-essential doctrines, and in all things we show charity. So, why don't y'all stand up and let's pray and let's close. Just bow our heads, and one thing I want to, again, start off with as we close, and that is that a reminder for those who may not have yet believed that there is no way that you can be restored to God apart through faith in Jesus Christ. It is a gift that God offers through Him. But before God, all of us are dead in our sin. And it is not just a sin that is, I've done a few things wrong. God calls it rebellion. And even if we're ignorant of the level of rebellion that our sin is, we are still responsible because the Word of God shows us what that is. The prophet Isaiah said this, that your sins have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. Our sin separates us from God. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, the perfect man, 100% man, 100% God. And He died on the cross, He rose from the grave, He ascended back to heaven, and He sits at the right hand of God. And He will judge the living and the dead. He will judge. You will stand before Him. And he will not judge you on anything but the relationship you have with Him. Have you believed in Him? And James tells us that the good works, the fruit of our relationship, comes from that relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you believed? Have you trusted Jesus Christ? If you died today, do you know for sure that you would be with Him? These things were written for you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And so I invite you today to trust Jesus Christ. God loved you so much that He gave His Son so that whoever would look to Him and believe would not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the offer. And so I invite you, if you have not done so, that you would respond to God, His gift of Jesus Christ, and believe that He is Lord. And you can do that just by telling God that. If that's something that you do, I would love to know about that so that we could help you walk forward in your faith. For all of us, as we go forward, we want to keep the main thing, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we want to be a church that ministers in the power of the Holy Spirit, that is centered in Christ, a church of Bereans that knows the Word of God, that lives the Word of God, that obeys the Word of God. We know how to communicate with one another in wisdom and understanding. And we learn how to unify around the gospel so that we can move forward and get the work done of reaching this world with the good news and fulfilling our calling as sons and daughters of a holy God. Father, we thank you for that, and we ask you that you, by your Spirit, would move in us in ways to respond and live in the power and the joy and the peace that comes from righteousness in the Holy Spirit. What a gift that you have offered us. Stir us to follow you closely. So, Father, we bless you, and we thank you, and we praise you. We commit these things to you in Christ's name. Treg, would you come close us? And then after Treg closes us and he prays, let's go have some fish together.
Amen. Listen to the benediction. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Amen.